on the way home. And I was just devastated because it had been so long since I'd seen my children. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to go home today. And Sister Mary, who was visiting me in the hospital, who was going to make her rounds around Manhattan and see and pray with people that she had relationships with as well, said to me, well, I'm a certified nurse. And I knew that the Lord had just sent her to me at the right time. So I was able to leave Mount Sinai Hospital that day with my husband and my close friend, who was with me through some of the hardest times of my life, who is a nun and a certified nurse. So, you know, you can't really write that script yourself. You know, that's a lot of divine intervention.
You had no idea that she was a certified nurse until that moment.
No, I knew that she was a nurse from years ago because she told me that she used to work in the labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember because I knew her through the loss of a baby. So she knew medical things. But our relationship wasn't that of a patient and a nurse. And she was a nun who is a part of the Sisters of Life, which is an amazing order. And she's been at Catholic universities studying, about the family. They have a marriage and the family school there. Mm-hmm. And so it's really wild that it just came up at the time. Like, I didn't know her in that capacity, but that was the capacity that she served as for that moment and for the rest of the day as she and my husband put together all this home equipment, you know, with tubes and beeps and machines and all this crazy stuff in my home that she knew everything. She knew she had done trach care before, feeding tubes, like she knew how to do everything. So if you can imagine leaving a hospital where everyone is there skilled, and then you're going home and you're going to have a visiting nurse, but, you know, what if something happens between the visits? And I had God just sent me like an angel. And so what I was saying before was that I was used to controlling everything in my life, but there's certain points where you realize you have to let go and let God take over and rely on your faith community around you. Call the people into your life that you know have spiritual strength, because we all have people of all walks of life that are our friends. And then there are the people that you know that if there's a tragedy in your life that you're going to call for prayer. And we have to look around now, because we never know what's going to happen in our life. We don't know if tomorrow we're going to find out we have a brain tumor, or tomorrow we're going to experience the loss of someone in our family. It's not just something that, oh, I'll strengthen my faith when that happens. It's like, now is the time. If we're really truly still and we listen to what God wants of us, what he wants is us to strengthen our faith and to trust in him and to expand our community into the faith community and really think about who's around you, who's going to be with you in these times to help you focus on trusting God. Because our human instinct is not to trust God immediately. And like Marita said before, it's someone who's going to be there for you and do the dishes too when you need some help around the house. Because, you know, we're used to being, especially us women, I mean, this is a message for the men out there too, but for us women and mothers and wives and girlfriends and single women, we are caregivers. It's in our nature to be caregivers. And sometimes we need to be the patient, and it's very difficult for us. So it's important for us to all find what it is in our heart that needs healing and what it is that we could help with someone else's healing. We can help be an instrument of God's peace and God's mercy for others.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So we're going to actually take a little break right now and play a song. So it's about the Holy Spirit and just asking the Lord to come in and ask us, let us know who and what we need healing about. So stay tuned.
Who's that man who loves the poor? Blessed are the poor, he says, God's kingdom will be yours. Who's that man who gives us food? Blessed are the hungry, for you will have your fill. Fire, fire, come and dwell in my soul. He suffered and he died, but he rise up high on the cross. Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah, Spirit, enter my soul. Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh, Spirit, enter my soul.
Who's that man who hears us more? Blessed are the mournful, you will laugh, for I am yours. Who's that man who loves the meek? Blessed are the meek, he said, for they possess the earth.
Fire, 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 come and dwell in my soul. He suffered and he died, but he rise up high on the cross.
We sing now.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah, Spirit, enter my soul.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh, Spirit, enter my soul.
Brings us peace. Blessed are peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. Who's that man they persecute? Blessed are the persecuted, great is your reward.
Fire, 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 come and dwell in my soul. He suffered and he died, but he rise up high on the cross.
Let me sing now.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah, Spirit, enter my soul.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh, Spirit, enter my soul.
Jesus, Savior,
fire dwelling on the soul.
Thank you, Father, for all you have done. Thank you for the Spirit and for sending the Son, precious Jesus. You're all I long for.
Every minute of the day, you're the one I adore.
Say me love you, say me love you, say me love you to the max. Me love you, say me love you, say me love you plus tax. No other one can give me such a loving like you.
Jesus, love, respect you.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah. Spirit, enter my soul.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh. Spirit, enter my soul. Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah. Spirit, enter my soul.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh. Spirit, enter my soul. Spirit, enter your kingdom, yeah. Spirit, enter my soul.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, enter your kingdom, oh. Spirit, enter my soul.
All right, we're back. And again, if you wanted to call in or text in, our call-in number is 631-888-8811. And the text-in number is 516-784-6081. And Marita, you were about to share something about Dr. Chufo, Mr.
About,
Tony.
Yes, about your mom.
My mom. Oh.
The day that there was the day in honor of Tony that Joan, his wife, gave. And the listeners that remember Tony and John.
Yes.
That's just all good stuff. But when I was talking to your mom, we ended up praying together. There is a mom that I know, because you're the daughter, you don't even see it. But the heart, the mind, and the spirit is completely in you, Katerina. And I could see I had the best prayer with her, because she is absolutely who God made her. She's a mom, she loves you, but she cares about the whole world. And that was a beautiful prayer time. I want to put that in, because Most moms are not appreciated. That goes for you, Jeannie, aren't you? But really, Katarina, you do have that kind of a mom. And she's showing through you now. Since I've prayed with her, I know you much better. I knew where that spirit was coming from, or that devotion was coming from. So thanks. Here's to moms. And here's to being... The thing we got in the car coming out, Katarina, was... Be still and know that I am God. I guess that's why I told that little story about the man who cried and shared, and his heart literally went out to everybody on listening to that radio. He was able to talk because there was stillness. And I was talking to you when you first came in the door about quiet prayer. There's a thing called centering prayer. Many people practice it.
Yeah, mention what that is, because not everyone knows about it, but yeah. What that is exactly.
It's not a new prayer. It's a prayer that started really when you start, now you're going back to the Desert Fathers and things like that. The Desert Fathers did not speak that much. They lived in little hamlets by themselves. And for instance, there were some Jesuits that I knew very well, and one of them said that when he was ordained a Jesuit, instead of going to a parish or wherever he should have gone, he went up to Mount Athos in Greece. And Mount Athos is where the Desert Fathers in the 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th centuries went and lived alone. And there was a monastery at the bottom of the mountain. And when the abbot of the monastery needed them, he would ring a bell, and they'd all come down the hill, that they lived in a hut by themselves. They did not talk to each other. They ate. But when they went to the monastery, there was a big reason. And the monk there, whatever it was, might have been a monk who died. But they lived and established quiet prayer in the church. And even recent years, I happened to have the blessing of knowing him. It was a Father Keating who was in a monastery, now he's out in Snowmass, Colorado. He's a Cistercian. And what their rule is to be still. And they have a certain amount of prayer time in the monastery, but to be still until we learn to listen to God. So centering prayer, to answer your question, is that quiet time where you say nothing and let God in.
Excellent. Thank you. And I think that ties in beautifully what you were mentioning before. I totally didn't understand, but now it's making a little bit more sense. You said that through knowing my mom, you could understand me a little bit better and see like certain qualities that are carried out in the family. And I think that ties in really beautifully with the rosary and just kind of understanding who Mary is in that role in our life, because you've heard it said before that we could get to know Jesus better through Mary, his mother, or see qualities in one and in the other, and I think that's beautiful to keep in mind. And we're going to just discuss a little bit of the rosary and how important that was in Jeannie's life, going through her struggles with medical, and let's just share about that.
Actually, I'm so happy to be talking about the rosary, because it's such a beautiful and powerful instrument of prayer. And if people don't know how to pray, the rosary is a great place to begin. Mm. And it's a way to incorporate the prayer of a group or of yourself if you're alone.
Right.
And it's also such a great way to find this inner peace and this inner stillness and this focusing on... I mean, I'm learning about this quiet prayer right now. But for me, the rosary has been such a great tool to meditate and to find the inner peace and to find the path to trust God and to trust Jesus in the middle of terror and terrifying moments in the hospital. And I can think of a general observation that I made, as well as a specific one about the rosary, is that in general, when I was going through some of my hardest times at the hospital. And sometimes when you go through some of these tests, it's more terrifying than the actual surgery, because I don't know if anyone has had an MRI before, but it's like a little tube that you go in for me, sometimes for 2.5 hours, and loud sounds are, you have to wear earplugs or they're kind of being blasted at your head. I had an MRI of the brain like many times during this process, and also an MRI of the whole body. I mean, it was a lot of tests that I went through because, you know, I had a massive brain tumor and they had to do a lot of testing on me. So I would not be able to bring the metal rosary into some of these tests. So I would just use my fingers. And I got through these things with the help of the rosary. I would all of a sudden be wheeled out and I'd be like, oh, is the 2.5 hours over already? I'm not even to the luminous mysteries yet. You know, because it's like this really powerful way to get in touch with your inner voice of Jesus in your heart. So a specific memory that I have is that I attend in Manhattan St. Patrick's Old Cathedral Basilica, which is the first St. Patrick's Cathedral, but it's down in Little Italy, in Nolita, it's now called. And Monsignor Sicano, who like runs the whole operation, is a visionary, and he always has these wonderful groups come for Easter and for Holy Week, like the Franciscan friars come or the legionaries come. Like, there's always groups that come and help with the confessions and kind of get everyone like out of the cages, like the lapsed Catholics and everyone to kind of come out and be part of this like Holy Week celebration. So a major player over there is this wonderful man named Deacon Paul Vitale. And I thought of him when Marita was telling her story about the light coming in out of the trees. Because one time I was in Mass, but Deacon Paul, I met him first at my daughter Catherine, Katie's baptism. And she was the baby that was born after I decided to do a consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary after I lost my daughter Maria in the hospital. And 1 year, almost to the date after that, on Mother's Day, Katie was born. So I really feel like our Blessed Mother was there with me. And it was also the moment that I met Sister Mary Doolittle a year before, was really with me through the whole pregnancy with Katie. So Deacon Paul baptizing her was like it was how I met him. And he is a very powerful spiritual man. And he introduced himself to me before he met me and told me that he was saying Mass, or he was co-celebrating the Mass. And he said that at the time, before the church was renovated, one of the stained glass windows had like not a crack in it, but was like bare of color. And the sun kept passing in and out of that patch and shining on me in the pew. And he approached me after Mass and he said, for some reason, God was telling me to talk to you during the Mass, that this light kept shining on you on and off. And we were telling your story. I thought of this moment. Well, guess who was the first person to fly to my side in the hospital to give me the anointing of the sick? Deacon Paul Vitale, when I had the brain tumor. So when we were going to, and he's a cancer survivor of 3 bouts of cancer. So he is no stranger to miracles. So before I was going into the MRI, and he knew exactly how claustrophobic and terrifying these experiences are, he told me, just use it as a time for prayer. Say the rosary, say the chaplet of divine mercy, and God will be with you through all that fear and everything like that. So he and my husband were sitting in the waiting room while I'm in the MRI. And all of a sudden, one of the doctors at the hospital sees the priest collar and comes up to the father and says, Father, can I talk to you about something? And he was a lapsed Catholic and wound up, I mean, I don't have any idea what he said because it was, you know, in the sanctity of the confessional with the deacon. But Deacon Paul came out to my husband and said, well, Jeannie must be praying up a storm in that MRI because this man just had a major conversion experience and he's going to go back to the church. So, you know, never underestimate the power of the rosary. Because when I was in there, I was not, for some reason, I was not praying, oh God, get me through this brain tumor, get me through this MRI. I was just praying for everyone. And praying for other people is very powerful. Because we all have our laundry list of requests for God. But I found during that hospital stay, in the most terrifying moments, the power of the rosary, and which should also be used for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which I encourage people to pray as well. It was praying for other people that got me through.
Amen. Beautiful. That's yes. Great, Jeannie. Do I have a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
this is so blessed. Coming out here, God did a lot in that car of yours, Diane, because things just came forth. Remember I said to you, Jeannie, I think God wants us to quickly cover forgiveness of death and dying. Okay, so I think if we have a minute, Katarina?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, absolutely. Go
okay.
ahead.
Mm-hmm. One night, on a Saturday night, Joe and I were sitting in the den of our house, and the phone rang. And it was my son-in-law. And he was married to my third. I had six children. And he said, my son-in-law said, Margo is dead. Now, he had two daughters. My daughter had two daughters. Margo had just graduated from Cornell, and it was summertime, and she was living in New York in an apartment getting her master's. What I first did was I didn't say anything. I was so shocked. I got off the seat that I was sitting on, and I sat on the floor. And I looked at Joe, and I said to Joe, Margo is dead. The son-in-law that I was talking to and I were like mother and son. I love this man. Love this boy. And I couldn't answer. So he said to me, she was murdered. And then he said, she was cut in pieces. And I couldn't answer him. And he hung up. So I sat on the floor and I took the phone. And I hung the phone up. And I just sat. When I got hold of Mike later, she had refused to go out with this boy, man. She'd been trying to bring him back to church, to God. And she didn't want to go out with him that night. And apparently she had said no. He found his way into her apartment. And I can talk about it now, but not then, and not for a long time. He cut her in pieces. Her little sister, Dana, had gone looking for her. We were giving a shower for Dana. And she wasn't there. The doorman had let her in. They didn't know it. It was like a Thursday when they looked for her. But he had put her body parts in the bathroom. Why am I telling this story today? Because in our work of prayer, prayer group, ministering to the sick, there are many people who have never been healed of death in their families. Most people, we lose a mother, we lose a father, we lose a sister, we lose a brother. That for 1 minute, and I see this is a minute on the clock, that we could pray as I had to learn to pray to let Dana, to let Margo go. I had to let her go. How do we do that? God is a God of mercy and love. And Jeannie was talking about the rosary. It was the first thing I did, was pick up the rosary. But you know where God brought me? And it's because he wanted me to share this today, to the foot of the cross. Because somebody said, when Jesus took his last breath, somebody said, he is gone. And those little words, if I could just say a quick little prayer for all of us, to release that child, that mother, that husband, that wife, that father. Jesus, when you hung on the cross, someone in the crowd yelled, "He's gone." Mary, Mother of God, you had to stay at the foot of that cross and hear those words. Give us the grace, Jesus, in the power of your name, to release anyone that we love to the Heavenly Father, to Jesus, and to Mary. Thank you for this prayer, Lord. Lift the grief and let us see the joy that they're feeling in your heavenly bliss. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. That was so healing for me, and I'm sure for all of our listeners.
Why is that?
No, because I had lost my grandmother a couple months ago, and you know, I guess you don't realize the pain that's deep down.
Yes, that's right. And so this is a time of grace. This is a time of release. This is a time of letting go. And this is a time of love. It's like grandma's there for you. She's here hugging you, kissing you, and she's doing more for us. They're all doing more for us in heaven than we could here. But thanks for sharing that, because that in itself, Katerina, is healing. When we share, it's healing. And thank you, Jesus, for that. Let us all release those that have left us but are still really closer to you than ever before. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share some beautiful texts that I actually just got from some listeners, so I wanted to say thank you for texting in today. So one listener says, "Such an important topic for people to understand. When I had cancer, I totally felt God's presence, but I couldn't pray. I was traumatized, and I totally depended on my prayer warrior friends to get me through."
Praise you, Jesus.
So thank you, listener, for that. We have another listener who said, "God touches us in powerful ways through pain and suffering. In gratitude and grace, Marita's selfless service saved us and kept us afloat. Cassie, her story about quietness is about our lives." So amen. Thank you so much, Cassie, for that.
Cassie in our community. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, prayer warriors, for texting in today. And actually, I just thought of, usually we have a saint of the day. Mr. Chufo would always do a saint of the day. And I was just thinking this morning about what saint could be. And I came across this little book that I had at my house, and it says Mary's Way of the Cross, and it fits in really beautifully with our topic today, because mm-hmm. I feel that, or for me in my life, we forget the suffering that Mary went through, and it's always easy to think and see, oh, Mary's the one that was full of grace, and you know, mm-hmm. she's in heaven right now, and everything is good for her, but we don't see the
sorrow,
the sorrow, and that, imagine like seeing your son have to suffer through this terrible agony. And I was just flipping through this book, and you would just see the sorrow in her face. And just I just want to read a little meditation really quickly. It says, what I came across is, "Jesus falls the first time." This is meditating. Another way of prayer is the Stations of the Cross, which is often prayed during Lent, but any time can be prayed Jesus' Way of the Cross. And this is Mary's Way of the Cross, reflecting on possibly what Mary would have thought seeing this. "I followed close behind my son as he stumbled toward Calvary. Nothing had ever hurt me more than to see him in such pain. I saw the cross digging into his shoulders. My heart dropped when I saw him fall face to the ground, the heavy cross landing squarely on his back. For a moment, I thought my beloved son was dead. Now my whole body began to tremble. Then the guards kicked him. He rose slowly and began to walk again, yet they still whipped him. I wanted to protect him with my own body, but I knew this had to be, so I walked on and wept silently. Hmm. So I think that's beautiful to know that Mary can relate to what we're going through, and that Jesus still had to keep walking and keep getting up. But in our life, we can know that Mary is with us, and I'm sure she's weeping when we're going through troubles, and she's laughing and wrapping us with her protection in the good times and the bad times, and just always. So we can always ask for her prayers and to help us understand Jesus
Thank
more.
Thank you for that, Catalina. You just said something that, you know what you just said, that really sticks in my mind and my heart. Keep getting up.
Mm-hmm.
Through everything, through your sickness, through your surgery, through your experiences. Diane has things, I know. And through you, Catarina, I'm sure that developing this radio, the show, and all the things that have been, no one knows about, but Jesus and Mary know about it, that it's been painful. It had to be, because anything that grows like it has grown, anything that's inspiring, is painful. But, you know, I'm telling you girls today, because I'm grandma, I bet I'm the only grandma here, right? Yeah. that God wants us really, and I have to spread this message, to be still. He has an awful lot to say. And when you do, keep that still time in your heart. And Father Keating, this wonderful monk that taught us so much about centering prayer, he's very elderly now, and he's in a monastery on top of a mountain. He says, be still and know that I am God.
Thank you. Thank you. So, did you want to mention anything else, Jeannie?
Oh, I can't top that ending. That is perfect from Marita.
Yes. Yeah. It just ties in.
Be still and know that I am God.
And, I guess we'll just end with a little prayer for our listeners, for everyone's intentions. That's just what I felt inspired for today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this program, for all these blessings, and for our listeners and for our guest speakers today. May you continue to bless them and heal them and touch them to everything that you know about them, that they just may experience your love and be filled with you. We just ask this through Christ our Lord. So, amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank
you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, and God bless you. Have a great weekend, and stay tuned for next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you off?
Of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Staff, management,